You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Hello. We are live. Not really, but you know, we're recording. So, hi, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Ryan Trainer, and for this episode of the podcast, I am with two, well, I'll just say, you know, I know one a little bit more than the other, but we're all friends here. So today I have my friends Rachel and Emma on. Welcome. Say hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hello. So the whole reason why I wanted to do this podcast and for you guys to come on this episode is one of my favorite hobbies and passions that I do is martial arts and more or less jujitsu. So talking with Rachel, we've been friends for a long time, and you just got into it not too long ago, like probably a year or two ago, I would say.
Yeah, just over a year.
Okay, so what got you started into like jujitsu? I just wanted to kind of start with that.
Well, so a lot of the reasoning I got back into martial arts was I was actually battling some depression issues severely, and I was talking to my sister, and one of the things she said, the only time I've ever seen you really happy is when you were doing martial arts and Kempo. Why don't you get back into something like that? So originally I wanted to get into Krav because when I ended my time at Kempo, I wanted something a little bit more aggressive. I wanted to feel the hurt, just wanted to be drenched in sweat and really work at it. But the closest studio was about 45 minutes. So I'm like, well, that's not really feasible at this time. So I, when I used to live in Plymouth, Kaizen was right down the street, and I, you know, walked past it, drove past it quite a bit. I'm like, maybe I should check this place out. So I did, you know, consulted with Google, played around with their website. And then I was like, all right, hey, Dad, we used to do martial arts when I was like a third of my size. Let's get into it. Like, I want to sign up regardless. This would be kind of cool for you and I to do together. And he's like, I guess, okay. And then I, like, so as soon as I walked in, met Ryan, like, this is what I want to do. Like, sign me up.
It's that addicting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I really was happy I did. It was like the best decision I made in my life last year.
And Emma, how did you get introduced to it? Because you've been obviously doing this for a while, it seems, since we were talking a little bit before. Tell me your kind of start into this.
Yeah, so it's been so long now. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering
the
beginning.
Wait a minute, what?
When was it?
Yesterday when I went to class? No, wait, that was class. Yeah.
So thinking back now, I was first introduced to jiu-jitsu when I was doing taekwondo in high school.
Okay.
And one of my friends who also taught at the taekwondo school, he was like, hey, my brother's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. Do you and a couple of your friends want to, like, come in sometime and learn some of this grappling? I think it's really cool. And so he brought his brother in, and we thought it was super cool. But, like, you know, your first time doing jiu-jitsu, it's, like, kind of weird. You don't really have a feeling for
it's
it
crazy.
Yet. So I didn't really quite get into it right away. And that was about, like, 2009, 2010,
okay,
when I was first introduced. And then, 2009, I think it would have been around that time. But then I started college at Hope College and didn't really do anything for my freshman year. But then the summer after my freshman year ended, I started training again, and I was training with my friends, and they were all doing grappling and jiu-jitsu, and I got really into it. And so my second year, my sophomore year, I searched really hard on Facebook, and I just started messaging random people that I saw were connected with this gym, and it ended up being the perfect place for me. And so since my sophomore year of undergrad, I've been training jiu-jitsu really seriously. So it's been about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, and then it's just a blur, you know?
And since then, it's been a complete
like a big
blur,
rolling,
yeah.
You know, no pun intended, but it's such a weird thing because, you know, Rachel, even going back to, you know, doing martial arts before, because the way I was thinking about talking about jiu-jitsu is, you know, it's a martial art, and it's so popularized now, which is good. I'm so happy about that. And like with the UFC and MMA and stuff like that, it's way more than what I thought it was when I first started too. And it's cool because people actually understand it a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I did a little bit of like karate and stuff before, you know, and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm like the baddest person in the world. Like, I mean, they do give you good foundations of like what martial arts is. And it's like a nice, you know, with like Taekwondo, I'm sure too, you know, you learn self-defense and you learn like kind of the philosophy of martial arts. But then you're like kind of like, I need a little bit more because it doesn't seem like this can really hold out in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. It can, but you just, I think all three of us can understand that there's more to this art that we want to see. And that's, I never did like wrestling in high school, which I kind of, you know, wish I did because it's, you know, it's like I was like one of those nerds that like, oh, that's so stupid wearing that. Now I'm like, that was like free 4 years I could have been doing, yeah. You know, now I'm paying it, but whatever. But like learning jiu-jitsu, and I do, wrestling is very important, but it's like jiu-jitsu, I just love that, you know, the rules of it and like the technique and style of it more than that. But yeah, it's just cool when you realize how vulnerable you were when you've been training in this other art for so long. Yeah. And you're like,
you're like shell-shocked almost. It's like, yeah. What did I just get myself into?
Yeah, they're like, you know, the teacher you go into your school and like, yeah, go with this white belt. And you're like, oh, well, I'm this and this other thing. And you're like, oh, and they like obviously may have had a couple weeks and they just get you in an arm bar or a triangle or a, you know, rear naked or something. And you're like, I am a baby, you know. And it's so cool because that's like the best thing. That's what I found about it, where it's like when I was introduced to how vulnerable I was and what I didn't know, it's like good to be a white belt again, you know, because I'm like, well, this is my life now. So how did you both feel that same way, like your first day?
I was really overwhelmed. Like I remember standing in a corner with my dad. I'm just watching the kids' class and I'm like, what the hell did I
That's
just get?
That's scary.
I'm like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Kids are so good at it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Naturally, they're just flopping around. And
That's hilarious watching kids do it. Yeah. Especially when they get like good. Like now, since like people start when they're like two, it's like scary. I'm like, that's
terrified.
Nuts.
I'm pretty sure the children could probably destroy me.
Yeah. And then you get like five of them. You're like, I just can't do this, you know? But so you were watching the kids' class?
I was watching the kids' class, and I was pretty thankful. Like, I had my dad. Like, I didn't have, like, most new people, they don't have somebody with them, mm-hmm. or unless they, like, bring a friend. So I was like, well, at least I've got the comfortability of my dad, you know? And then, I don't know, it was just hard. I just, like, was trying to fumble and, like, how do I tie a white belt again? Like, I haven't done a martial arts in 10 years, so I'm, like, trying to remember. And thankfully, one of my teammates and friends, Tyler, came over, and he's like, let me show you. Let me. And this was him like constantly for the first like 4 or 5 months was just like adjusting me.
Yeah. And then it's like you realize that like I got tying a white belt and I have to tie people up. Now I have to figure that whole puzzle. How about you, Emma? What was like your first day like?
Again, trying to remember back, but it was a little bit of a different time back then too, because they were so fewer. I mean, there's still not a lot of women training, but mm-hmm. at least I had had that exposure before when I was in high school, which helped a little bit. But I remember walking in and there's just not a single like other female in sight. So like that can be a little intimidating at first. But I had at least reached out to like someone on Facebook beforehand and I at least knew kind of who they were. So I wasn't walking in completely blind, but I just kind of threw myself right into it. And they were just an absolutely amazing group of guys that I like to catch up with and see on the reg if, cause they're in Michigan too. So if they come to tournaments, catch back up with them. But yeah, it was a little bit still intimidating at first, especially as it can be, cause it is still, an extremely male dominated space. But yeah, you just stick with it long enough after that initial first push and yeah, it's been smooth sailing since then.
And, you know, that's like another reason why I'm glad to have you both on, because obviously me being a dude and it's just like I didn't have those problems. And I just, you know, got fed to the sharks and it was just like, oh, I got to do, you know, it's just rolling with a bunch of dudes and all that. And it is interesting because I didn't see women in like the gym I was at for the longest time. Like they had obviously a mix of like kickboxing and there was like probably like one or two in some classes. But, you know, like it just like they weren't there. And it's since it's been more popularized and became, and again, with like MMA and stuff with, you know, women fighting, and becoming actually just showing what they can do and stuff, it's been really cool to seeing people like break out of that mold of like, oh, I can't do that. Like, because even with like regular martial arts, like you didn't really see it, you know, a lot of guys would just do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the karate dude, the karate that. But it's like girls still like kicking ass. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's great.
Yeah, exactly. And since it is a, you know, it's exercise and it's just like another way to express yourself in some way. So, how have you seen it like change since you started and like now? Has it been like a complete change or just like how's your experience been since day one to like now, Emma?
Yeah, so it's been kind of a gradual change. I don't think it's too drastic. I think, you know, it's still trying to figure itself out and women are still having to push to have the same recognition or even payment in tournaments for people at the highest levels. But I mean, I can attest to this just from being at Kaizen for the past few years, like since now having a women's program and having so many, there's like a handful of us there now.
Yeah.
There's at least 10 or 12.
Yeah.
That's a good turnout.
Because a lot
That's
of people
really
go to like morning classes and I don't know them. I'm like, who is this person?
Yeah.
It's like they've been coming to morning classes for however many months now, which is really, really cool. So that's been a huge change. Tournaments, I think, are where I've seen some of the biggest improvement.
Yeah.
I remember my first few tournaments. I used to be doing tournaments like twice a month for about 4 years straight, which was a lot.
That's insane.
Yeah. And of course, there's like off months and everything. It wasn't like that constant, but it was a lot. And my first few, I remember like being so intimidated and scared and just, you know, I'm still a white belt. And you know, the organizers coming up to me and my coaches and being like, well, there's one other woman here in the entire facility. She's a blue belt and she's two weight classes above you.
Yeah.
You want to do it? And so I remember going up against her once and just being like destroyed and having to do best two out of three and just going in again. And they were like, there's a lot of guys your size and your rank. You want to go up against the guys too? And I was like, sure, might as well get my money's worth.
Exactly. When you're paying for a tournament too, that's like – I mean that's like kind of the struggle too even in like professional and stuff is the weight class issue because they can't really – it's not just at that point like, you know, with the male division where it's just – they just can do whatever they want with that. So especially with just like a tournament, you know, where people can just pay and do that, that'd be very disappointing when you go there and it's just like, you know, you get two for the price of this tournament. Then
yeah.
You're like, well, I'm fighting one person. So what are we going to do? Are we going to go for a tiebreaker or I don't know. It's just, I would never have understood that, but that's, you know, I could see that happening.
That has happened to me too.
Yeah.
Like there were a couple after that where there weren't any other women at all. And they were just like, here's your money back. Like,
yeah.
Enjoy
well,
like
good.
Watching the tournament. I mean, I
that's
did get
really
refunded
good.
In those instances, which was really great.
Yeah.
And like upstanding on their part. I appreciated that a lot. But now like looking at tournaments, it's not just – you don't have to go to an IBJJF tournament or a big one to find a lot of women. Like even in Michigan, like local tournaments, you can have a division with at least like – even three or four other women.
That's good.
Which is super cool. And of course, as you go up the belt levels, like there's less and less. So I'm kind of like, I haven't competed since I've had my purple belt, which is something that I'm trying to change very soon. But yeah, it's, you know, especially for women, there's not a lot at that level and up in local tournaments. But
it's different.
It's way different. Yeah, especially white and blue belts. You can have like a pretty full division at this point, which is nowhere near where it was.
Okay.
Like 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah.
Well, you know, obviously you have Rachel now, you know, it's
yes.
like, that's cool too. So, you know, you're part of the movement in that way as well, since like you're getting into it now, you know, and like you obviously are experienced, you know, but like, I guess, how is it like talking to like your friends and people outside of like the mat with like jiu-jitsu, people like getting interested in like and seeing, because you've obviously progressed so much with it too, going to tournaments, you know, getting stripes, doing, you know, you're putting your work in. I can definitely see that, which
oh,
is awesome. So, you know, you're not just like, yes, you know, do it. You know.
Just work so hard.
Well, so I talk about it a lot at work and like all my coworkers tease me, like, is that all you ever do is jiu-jitsu? And like, well, it's just a huge part of my life. Like, if you want to see me, come train with me because that's pretty much where you'll find me. I'm usually there between Kaizen and 10th Planet. I'm training like 6 days a week.
Yeah, that's insane. That literally is insane.
I feel so lazy.
It's
way above average.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have like a really close group knit of friends from there. And I mean, they're just awesome. Like, how, where else could you go? Like, spend like every day with somebody and like watch each other progress. There are like a lot more women at Kaizen, which I think is super, is fantastic compared to like 10th Planet. And even when I've gone a few times to Stars and Strikes. So it was like a little unnerving, especially when I didn't have like a couple of my friends with me. But I think it's pretty awesome that there's just so many more women involved, and even like some of my like female coworkers are, you know, kind of getting interested in about it. And then even like compared to Kempo, I mean, you remember back in those days, generally, I like, especially when we climbed higher in the ranks, there was only like maybe one or two other women. And a lot of times the later night classes, it was usually just me and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, so, it did end up that way.
Pretty you know? Much. So, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable working with, you know, men. It doesn't really faze me, but sometimes it's kind of harder because most people are a lot stronger than I am. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I'm like,
there's a difference.
There's
and,
a huge
you know,
difference.
That can be with anybody too. And that's like kind of the beauty of jiu-jitsu though, because even like more or less in a class when it's like a tournament, that's a little different. But when you're in a class, you can work with, you know, people that might be, you know, a higher weight class or something or lower. And you just understand, like, the physical body more and, like, how to – and that's, like, the point of jiu-jitsu is to, like, learn that, like, style. If it's a bottom game, a top game, or, you know, there's different moves for different points of that. And some people, if they're stronger or, like, more just, I guess, dominant, I would say, it's, like, you have to learn it from that angle now. Like, you might be attacked more or you might be that person on the other end. And this could be for – male and female, which is kind of the good thing about it too. So, what I wanted to say, I kind of wanted to bring up a funny thing that I thought about with how you're doing jiu-jitsu now. And this was way back in our Kempo days.
I already know where you're going with this.
This might be out of left field, but you said once, because, you know, it's like with jiu-jitsu, you just – there's no way around it. You just get sweaty. You just get dirty. Like it's just part of it. I mean, you're
gross.
Using so much of yourself, and it's so hard. It's and even when you are like at a better level or you get comfortable with it, you still come out like in a puddle of sweat. You know.
Literally after today's like rolling class, I'm like just peeling my like spats and rash guard off. It's like a second skin. It's just so
and you know
so
it's like
disgusting.
But that's what
it
was,
like plops on the floor.
That's what I wanted to like put you on mic for because it was in Kempo and like I always was one of those people where it's like no matter what I'm doing, if I'm like going to the gym or doing something, like I just gotta end up like that, like sweaty and dirty. And Rachel was always like, I don't like doing that. Like, I just like coming out. And she changed out of her gi in our martial art class and was in, like, normal clothes. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, and she's like, I don't like getting sweaty. And then looking back at that and then now to a sport where there's no way you can wear, like, your Sunday's best and put a gi on and go roll. You could be with all white belts that are infants, and you will still be sweating. So I just wanted to say that because
wow,
it was really
things have changed.
Yeah.
And she embraced it. That's the thing because she was like, ah, that's just like you can't do that. That's like blah, blah, blah. And now like she's into jiu-jitsu, and I'm like, I'm so glad you changed your mind on that because you never survive in the sport if you still had those views. So.
Oh, I'm still like grossed out with myself after like an intense day of rolling. Like
it's not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be like, oh, I love when people just sweat on me all day. But it's just part of the thing. You
getting
know?
People always complain too about like getting the sweat in the mouth. Ugh. I don't think that's the worst. Uh-huh. Like if
it's
you've
bad.
Been sweat in your eye,
oh my god,
because you can't spit that out. Yeah, no. It hurts. So and like you, if someone else's sweat. Like gets down from like a good like side control or something that I think is the worst.
So,
that happened to me three so times in the same class, like one after another. I'm like right in the same eye. I'm like, great, this is
awful.
Fantastic.
I have a funny story about that, which is not. It's kind of gross, but I'll just say
hit
it.
Us with it.
All right, so I've done a few mixed martial arts matches, you know, and I one of the ones. I was in – I was fighting this guy and we were like fighting. You know, obviously, we're in this huge cage match thing. And I guess I did hit him in the nose. Like you just don't know what's going on. It's so blurry. And we went to the ground. Like he took me down and I got him in a triangle. And I'm finishing him off and I'm just like you know, cinching up and getting to like where he needs to tap and all this stuff. But, and he's like fighting and all this stuff. And he had this glob of just blood and I don't know. And it's like, I was looking, obviously, you know, the triangle position, and I'm like pressed against the gate and I'm like, this is going to happen. Luckily, it landed on my chest instead of my face. But I won the match, which was the whole point. But again, I was like debating, like, is this worth it? And like, everyone's like, ah. It was like the most craziest thing in my entire thing that I was like, am I going to just literally fall over because a glob of snot's going to be in my eye?
See, that's the behind the scenes that like people need to hear about with that cage match. It's like, you never know. You might get like some big glob of like snot and blood that just plops right on your face or, God forbid, in your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
That's the dirty truth of it, because so many people are like, yeah, I could do that. I'm like, yeah, go for it.
That's why I'm glad I had a bunch of people see, like, actually saw the event. So, but when you're rolling it, yeah, there's just so much crazy stuff that happens. I mean, but that's like the good thing about jiu-jitsu. We're coming from different martial arts and stuff. You know, you want that extra edge, and you're like, you know, you don't want to go out and start like beating up people or like getting into trouble. And jiu-jitsu has that thing where it's literally like from the first week you do it, you're fighting people. Like, it's not to the death, but kind of is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and these people that, you know, when you start or even at this point are way better than you, or even just, you know, like the new person that tries out and just goes crazy. Like, that's the worst thing too, because you can get like, you know, elbowed, kneed, headbutt, like all these things that a non-experienced person, you know, they just do because they're nervous, you know?
Right.
So it's so wild, but the majority of the community of Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just like, yeah, we're chill, you know?
Yeah.
That literally, and like talking with you two, you both are very calm, you know, but you could literally just wrap people up right now. So how do you feel about that? Like, what do you feel about like the jiu-jitsu culture?
You know, it's probably one of my favorite cultures, at least the experiences I've had with I've been to, I guess, three different gyms now, and everyone's just so warm and welcoming, and they make you feel like a family. Like, as my coworkers, my family, everyone's just sick of hearing me talk about it at this point. My sister will invite me to a movie. She's like, you want to, you know, go see the newest Avengers? Like, nope, I got jiu-jitsu stuff. That's all you do.
That's cool. That's determination there. So, how about you?
Yeah, it's really a great community, and in general, I think it does have one of the healthiest and more welcoming, I think, cultures of a lot of different martial arts. And I'm really thankful for that in particular. And I think a lot of it does have to do on a gym by gym basis, you know, because you do hear horror stories about people going to certain gyms, which is really unfortunate. But I feel like I've been very lucky, and I travel very occasionally. But when I do, my then boyfriend, now fiance, we both always drop in and train somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we've been really lucky where every time we travel, or anytime I travel, we always drop in, and it's been always very welcoming. People are just happy to meet other people that train, and they're great. There are some things that I think people could do better, and I think the community could do better, but like overall, like, I'm clearly still here after coming up on a decade soon. So I think that's a testament to the community.
That's good. And, you know, nothing's perfect. You know, it's back in like the old school days of martial arts with, you know, Bruce Lee and all that. It's like he would try to do his own thing, and people were like, you can't do that, you know, with these kind of people. Yeah, it's always been there. And jiu-jitsu will always have assholes, and everything does. And, but more or less, I've literally have ran into less of those kind of people. You know, you get tough people no matter who they are, but that's a very small percent, at least in my experience, and it seems like for you both as well.
For sure.
And yeah, you get weeded out, you know. It's like there's those people that watch a bunch of YouTube videos and come in and like, you know, I've seen The Ultimate Fighter 1,000 times. And it's like, okay. And it's like, you know, like they get tested, and it's fun to know an art where you can put someone in their place without, you know, destroying their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and seeing people, like, I've seen, you know, like, teachers, if you have a good teacher and stuff, know that too. It seems like when they get to that kind of – and like, you know, higher ups and stuff like that will sense people that just might not be into this in the right way. And they'll just be like, dude, let's roll and let's talk after because, you know, you might need to just go work out. And it's cool to see that. And that's, again, the community and the like if you're, you know, respectable and you're just a nice person, like you'll be fine. You don't have to be the next champion, but you can just love the sport and love the art and just, you know, work with all these kind of people. And it's like really cool to know that. And, you know, see, your group is obviously totally different than my group, but it's very similar in those senses too. And I think it's funny. I've worked with so many people in my gym and stuff like that. And I know, and we've only had like a gym relationship, and it's so crazy because I think about it and I'll like sit with some of my friends and I'm like, I have experienced so much more different stuff with these people that I only see like a couple hours a week, but like at such an intense level that like when I have someone complaining about, you know, oh, my order's wrong, I'm like, you should see these people. I'm, you know, and like, it's like we're fighting to the death and like trying to get these belts and like these, we're trying to better ourselves. We're trying to get to the next level and whatever that may be, getting ready for a tournament, doing these things. Why are we here? It's just crazy. You're investing so much in yourself. And I'm like, I've had a couple like on my, on this podcast and stuff. And I'm like, we've really never like sat down and talked because we're always like, where's the iron bar? Where's this? And it's like, that's been our relationship for years, but it's like, we know each other so well. And it's like, again, you know, we're friends and it's such a weird way. I don't even know how to explain it.
It's a unique relationship. Yeah. I feel like I try to explain like the connection that I have with the people that I train with and especially the people that I've trained with for like a significant amount of time to other people, and it just ends up sounding like kind of weird.
Yeah,
like they don't get it. It's like, man, you sound like you're really close with these people, but and it's like
an intimacy of its own intimacy.
Yeah, I mean, you're physically super close with these people on a huge time, and it's I feel like a lot of it comes from the trust.
Yeah,
you have to have like especially people that you really train hard with. You have to have like complete. I total trust to really go as hard as you need to get better, like to be able to train that hard with somebody. And I think that like really deep level of trust has something to do with that really special relationship that jiu-jitsu seems to foster between people.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really cool. And like you get people that push you in different ways. You have like the way I look at it, it's like when you've been in a class, like a certain class, you know, the regulars, the people that are always there come in. And you sometimes want the more comfortable person that might be at your level to work at that pace or whatever it may be. Or you might want the one where they are way better than you and don't know you, but you guys, you know, clash heads a lot. And but, you know, not in a bad way, but you're just always like – you're so much better than me, but I'm going to get you one day. And like they can see you kind of creeping up on them maybe in a way. So they're obviously like, no, like you're never going to get me, but maybe one day. And it's just so weird. It sounds so weird on a podcast. I'm like, what am I freaking saying here?
This is translating.
Yeah. This is where it's like, I don't like doing video, but I'm like, I might need video with this. But then it's like, then we should just roll. This would make a lot more sense that
That's
way.
True. So.
A rolling
a slippery
podcast.
Slope.
Yeah. So
it's not a bad idea though.
No.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. When you talk to your jiu-jitsu friends, I think this is where it goes. You talk about stuff and then you're like, what are we talking about? Let's just roll. Like we'll figure out our problems after that. And it's like, all right, that makes more sense. But then you talk to someone that doesn't, they're like, yeah, we can't do that. We have to talk. It's like, I don't know. I'm glad you kind of understand, I guess, where I'm coming from.
Totally.
So what I wanted to like bring up too is since like working out and like exercising, I say in general, does a lot for people. If it's just running, lifting weights or doing whatever, what has like jiu-jitsu done to like help your personal life?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I had a lot of issues with depression. And honestly, that was the one of the thing that helped me get through it. So, you know, at a much quicker rate. If it wasn't for that, I don't think I'd be in the place I'm at right now.
Okay.
I've had like close family, friends, even like notice a shift and change of like how much happier I am. Like,
yeah.
Oh, like you're generally smiling. Like I can see how like happy you are. And it's just a great stress relief. I mean, the people that I train with like genuinely care about your well-being, whether, yeah. you know, they know when you're having a bad day and, you know, they might pull you aside like, hey, what's going on? Tell me what's up. It's just, I don't know. Like, I don't think I can find like a place that, you know, can do that for me outside of Kaizen and 10th Planet. And I'm just really thankful to have those sort of people in my life.
Because, you know, you couldn't just go to a Planet Fitness and just start on the treadmill.
Right.
And, you know, like, oh, yeah, I mean, because that helps people in some way, and that's great, you know, but certain people need a little bit more, and whatever it may be. And that's, like, what's cool about all this. So that's – yeah, go ahead.
It's weird because, like, it's both, like, an individual sport, but it's also, like, a community sport. It's, like, the best –
very strange. Yeah. That's a good way to put
it. It's the best of both worlds.
Like, yeah.
Forced social connections.
Yes.
I know, and that's actually what I hate about jiu-jitsu because I can't do it by my – you know, I'm like, I can't just go home and be the best jiu-jitsu person. No, it's impossible. Literally impossible. Like, you can have the dummies and all that, and, yeah, you're not going to get far.
It's not the same.
Exactly. No. And you got to find, and again, you can't just like go to people that don't want to do this. Be like, give me your arm, give me your neck. And like, they're like, no, get off me.
Trust me.
Trust me.
Just tap. It's okay. I'm right. Just tap, you know? Emma, how has that helped you and your personal life?
Wow. It's kept me in shape, which is something that I think is
so
just
a
baseline
plus.
Thing that like keeps me feeling good and happy and healthy. It's like kind of like how we were touching on before. It's helped me meet a lot of amazing people that I feel very close with that have been great friendships. It's where I met my fiance. And it also helped me with mental, emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period for at least a year where I was severely depressed as well. And when I came back, I was in Philadelphia at the time. And when I came back home, if I can plug his place, Funk Fitness, I trained there.
Editing
it.
It's an open book here.
Oh, but yeah. Craig Funk runs that place. Amazing person. He's also the one who introduced me to Kaizen.
Cool.
And I was training with him and his parents, who are like certified kettlebell instructors for like a year. And he literally trained me out of my depression. And I haven't been back into that deep hole ever since.
Hmm.
And he offered jiu-jitsu at his place too. And like I said, brought me to Kaizen. So I was carpooling with him there once a week usually. And it's just helped me through like so many stages, like, you know, really hard deaths, really hard, you know, parts of my life. It's just like a constant. It's always there. And I always find if I don't want to go or if I want to like sit at home and wallow, I'm just like, I said I'd go to jiu-jitsu or like I know classes tonight. And if I make the effort to go, I've never left without feeling glad that I went and feeling better and feeling accomplished, which is part of what I think the really intense physical activity does for you too. And having that connection with people, it's kind of, it gives you so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I hate to do this, but I think we're going to have to wrap up a little bit here, but I don't know. We'll continue this story a little bit, but, I wanted to just have you guys plug a little bit of like your stories and like where you guys are at and all that. So, yeah, please plug all your stuff, you know, like where you train at and what you're doing.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll let you.
So we both train at Kaizen Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Plymouth on 5 Mile. I always forget the cross street.
Haggerty.
Thank you. Very bad with that. Yeah, train there. If any women in the area are interested, you want to try it out or you've been training, I run a women's only class that starts at 4:30 every Sunday unless otherwise. I've had to kind of cancel frequently. Weekend classes are hard. But 4:30 usually to 6, sometimes past then if I don't have D&D, Dungeons & Dragons that night. otherwise, 4:30 to 6 every Sunday. that's really, I don't know what else to plug. I think that's about it for me. My Instagram is at Emma on the Mat, if you want to find me
there.
It's
a good Instagram. I like it.
Thank
cool.
you. I do too much, so there's a lot there.
Hey, that's cool.
Salsa, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Salsa, everything. Dance Revolution, Ann Arbor.
How about you, Rach?
Well, obviously, I train at Kaizen with Emma as well. And then on the days I'm not there, you can find me at 10th Planet Detroit, which a lot of no-gi. They have a really intense wrestling class. So if you want to die and have your soul taken from you, highly yeah. recommend that.
I could only imagine what that'd be like. So.
And then I guess that's it. I don't know.
Cool. Well, sorry this is a little bit shorter than I thought, but thank you for doing this. And I appreciate you guys putting the time. And we should do this again. This would be fun to, you know, come back on. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, and best of luck to you both. And yeah, let's sign off there.